Welcome to Uncommon Faith. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ashley. I almost forgot my name.
That's okay. I have those moments all the time. Well, today we have Tyra Wooten, president and CEO of Let Tyra Brand You, and YouTube influencer Nicole Fink. Hey, ladies, we are so excited to have you here today. How are you?
Thank you so much.
Hello.
So let's go ahead and start with Tyra, if you want to introduce yourself and give us a little more detail on what you do.
Absolutely. My name is Tyra, of course. I am a founder and CEO of a branding and luxury concierge service. Also, Nicole and I lead a Bible study. So we have people all over the world that joins us virtually every single week. And so I'm just a strong believer in the Lord and just trying to make a difference.
Yes, we love that. Awesome. And you, Nicole, tell us a little bit about you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nicole. I am in sales. So I have a full-time gig in sales. And then I also do a lot of ministry on the side. So I have a TikTok. Tyra and I have a Bible study that we lead together every Tuesday night on Zoom. I have a YouTube channel, and I am preparing for the mission field. So that's a little bit about me.
I love it. You guys have so much going on.
like full-time mission field or like part-time?
So I'm headed to the Middle East in April. So I'm just waiting for the Lord to kind of reveal what it is he wants to reveal to me when I'm there.
That's awesome.
Crazy. She's all awesome. I'm like, crazy.
Are you going to Lebanon by any chance?
Not Lebanon. No.
Okay. Okay. I know my church does the same thing. They're going to the Middle East soon too. So I was just curious if it was like a combined.
Right. You're going to meet some of them.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard in some of our other episodes, but me and Amber actually went on a mission trip to Russia together. So my family's always been really big on missions. And so we had that great experience together. And our church is going to Greece. I just did Mexico with my daughter for the first time, going to an orphanage. So that was a really fun experience. So yeah, we're really big on missions.
Are you nervous?
You know what? I think that if I wasn't nervous, it wouldn't be the faith factor involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think anytime you step out on faith, there's, I'm learning a new language. I'm learning Arabic. It's a lot.
My goodness.
Plus I have my parents. Hey, Nicole, let's see you before you leave because you might not come back. You know?
So scary, but so real.
No, like a good way, right? Like you might just want to live there full time.
And my dad's like, Nicole, what happens if you get raped, you know, while you're over there? So my dad tries to get me to think and consider the cost. Luke 14 is a very inspirational passage to me. It really forces you to count the cost. When you follow Jesus, you will be persecuted. The Bible promises us that in 1 Peter. You know what? But Jesus laid it all down for us. And as followers of Jesus Christ, if we can endure the persecution, if we can endure to the end, then we'll be with him. So that is the hope of glory and advancing the gospel to a people group that doesn't even have the Bible in their own language is something that's really heavy on my heart.
Yeah. Wow.
Nicole, I love your fire. I love it. Is that what drew you to her, Tyra?
Oh, I think, yeah, that's part of it. And also her heart. She has a really awesome heart. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are energetic and about the gospel, but you know, do they have it in their heart is the question. Yeah. And Nicole definitely have it in her heart. It's not for show and it's not, you know, to build an audience. It's just who she is. And I just, you know, I grow, my love grows for Nicole every day.
Aww.
That's awesome.
I love you, Ty.
That actually, that makes me think because, you know, I've noticed that there has been a huge surge lately of like Christian TikTok and like just people on social media speaking their testimony and just like doing these Bible studies like what you guys are doing. Do you feel like that's like a trend right now, or do you feel like it's legit or like half and half?
That's a really good, great question. I think it's based on like the, you know, I think that oftentimes TikTok tend to share TikToks with you that are in your interest line. So I think like when the ones that you like or the ones that you heart, you know, I tend to get more of those. Then my niece, get the dancing ones, the most current trends and stuff. I get the ones that, you know, you're sobbing and crying.
I do get a lot of those too.
And that's because it, you know, you are what you
surround yourself with.
What's in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I've been really blessed to have shared my testimony as well. And it hit so many people and to bring them closer to the Lord. So I'm super happy that I was able to do that.
What made you guys want to use, you know, a social media platform to speak on your testimony, like with YouTube and Instagram and TikTok? You know, it's such a public forum. It's opening yourself up for judgment and criticism, even within like other Christians. So what made you guys just want to put it out there and share?
I just think it's just following the Lord and following his guidance. A lot of times we kind of act prematurely, but it's all about positioning ourselves and waiting on his timing. And when he tells me to move, I move. So whether it's on TikTok or Instagram or and every time he has shared that with me and there's someone that I've touched or there's someone that come to the Lord or there's someone that you made a difference in, you know, walking away from a really bad relationship. So he always has a plan and a purpose for everything.
Yes, ma'am.
We actually, you know, before starting our podcast, we actually prayed that like right before launch day, we were like, Lord, please protect our hearts and our minds and whatnot. Cause we know like putting yourself out there is, you know, people are mean for sure.
Yeah.
And, as well as, you know, when you're doing what God wants you to do, you know, the devil just, you know, it just opens you up for more and more attacks.
What was it, Ash? Was it about a week before or the first day we were airing the first podcast? I went through some pretty bad attacks. And it was, they were not from the good side. Like it was, it was some pretty rough ones. And I just kept thinking like, what were we talking about yesterday? And I had just been telling Ashley, like, this podcast is going to reach so many people. I think it's so amazing that we've been through so much and have not lost our faith. We're never going to lose our faith. And so I just kept playing on that. And the fact that I have been through so much, things that normally people would be like, hey, I'm going to jump off a bridge now. Like I'm done. And I hold tight on the fact of knowing that the Lord's there. He's always going to provide. And I talked about that a lot. Like I love to share that fact and Ashley loves to share that fact. And so the day before I was just calling everyone and telling them like, yeah, we're so ready to do this because this and that. And girl, I did not know what I had prepared the next day. And it scared me, but it didn't shake me. It didn't waver my faith whatsoever. And it's amazing just to hold on to that, but it's scary because you don't know what's going to happen in sharing the word. You don't, but we still do it.
You don't.
You definitely learn that a lot preparing for mission trips as well. Like that was, you know, we would do, I mean, remember Amber, like we would have like meetings weekly preparing ourselves as a team to go and, you know, people left and right on the team would be getting, you know, attacked spiritually attacked. I don't want to say not physically attacked, hopefully, spiritually attacked, you know, with family issues, financial issues, like any which way. And it can be really hard, but the reward, in it and knowing that you're being obedient, is,
yeah,
it means so much more. So.
So we will be praying for you like crazy, Nicole. That is, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. And not enough people do it.
Yeah. Amen.
That's true.
Friend always told me, she says, Nicole, there's givers and there's goers.
Yeah.
And it's just so amazing that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, what an honor that God trusts, yeah, us, you know. Mm-hmm. Tyra and I talked about in our Bible study a couple of weeks ago, Hebrews, no one can see the Lord without godliness. You have to be godly. You've got to be walking in holiness. And that's attractive to people. And I know we're going to get into the dating segment and,
yeah,
you know, it's that attractiveness. It's, they're following the Lord. They really have faith. And when you share your testimony and when people can see how God has shown up in your life, it's all the glory back to the Father. And that's why we boast. We don't boast in our own, you know, getting better or recovering from this or overcoming that. It's by the grace of God, because he put his Spirit inside of me. And then it's getting on your knees and praying and just saying, God, yeah, our hearts, give us more wisdom, Lord. Do we bring these people on? Do we do this? Because you will come under attack. You will go to war with each other. I mean, me and Tyra go to battle together with our group, with each other, with what we go through. And it's like, all right, you have to put on the full, yeah, armor of God every single day. Ephesians 6 tells us, you better not leave your house without your armor, right?
Get your makeup and your armor. Right?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, but it is so true. I mean, before I went through what I went through, I have to be honest, like, that wasn't something that I woke up, right, thinking about that day. Like, hey, make sure you have your armor on. It definitely wasn't. And like, something that, right, I've always done is like prayed over my house, but I've never prayed over my car. And I was in my vehicle when the stuff was happening, but goodness, girl, keep that armor on, yeah, because the attack is real. It is real, especially, right, when you're giving, mm-hmm, the glory to God. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I want to, yeah, go ahead and jump into this dating nonsense of Valentine's.
Dating nonsense.
So I would like to know how each one of you have gone about dating as a Christian and what it's like to go through Valentine's Day being single, what you normally do every year and just where your mindset is on everything. You can go ahead and start, Tyra. Go for it.
We're not used to having four people. It's just like, okay, yeah. You just raise your hand. You're like, I got something to say.
Okay. Absolutely. I think like dating with a purpose is something that I gravitate towards. You know, I believe, you know, I have tried the online dating. I have tried the dating where, you know, you just meet someone at the grocery store and they're like, hey, can you go on a date? And so I had both experience was great. So I've never had a bad experience like with dating as a Christian. I think that as long as you can stay strong in your beliefs and don't waver, and also have God, you know, first is all, and always be guided by the Lord and seek him when you are, you know, when someone approaches you or you find interest, you know, make sure it is from God, because some things can be counterfeit. It can look the part, or it can even fill the part, but is it really what God wants us to have? And that's something that I can't share, or Nicole or anyone else. That's between you and God and what he has for you. And so a lot of people always ask me, like, Tyra, can I go on here? Can I do this? I said, that's with your relationship with God. God has not instructed me where your husband is. You know, so that's, you have to pray about that. And I'm following my own directions, and that's going extremely well, and being prayerful and just making sure that God is leading my path, and I'm not led by my flesh, but I'm led by the Spirit. And that's just very important, especially dating and just remaining pure for your husbands. You know, this world right now is so much temptations that are out there, and it's just so much that have people want to give up and give in on their faith. But God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so if my spiritual godparents and my parents can do it, I can do the same thing for the Lord. So I'm really enjoying being single, being busy in the ministry. And I believe when it's my time and God brings that special spouse to me, then I'll be ready. But right now, my focus is serving the Lord, and here, well done, my good and faithful servant. I am well pleased.
That's awesome. So I know, I don't know about you guys, but I have a past. Has this always been something that you have done, is waiting for the Lord to bring someone into your life? Or have you been down that road, and how many times have you been fooled by non-believers that claim to be believers?
Yeah, I made a TikTok by that, by the way. You guys got to go see it. It's pretty much about, like, have you ever dated a guy that said that he goes to church and also, you know, but really doesn't, you know, and you get fooled, you know, and that's because I was not walking in the Lord. I have shied away. I have been in a not so great relationship where I went through a lot, whether it's abuse, whether it's premarital sex, whether it's, you know, self-doubt, low self-esteem. I had all that in one relationship, and that one relationship was enough for me to turn away.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, I've been there, done that, girl. This last one I was in, it was like, yeah, I go to church. Oh, I love the Lord. 4 months in, can we go to church now? Oh, yeah, we will. Okay, we break up. I'll go to church with you, I promise. Nah, we're good. You had a chance. Yeah. We're good.
Good for you. Good for you. That's awesome.
But that's not easy. It is not easy. And I think a lot of people would like to believe that us being Christians and believers, like, oh, you guys don't have to worry. You know what you're looking for. No. No, we do not.
Amen.
Yeah. What about you, Nicole?
Yeah. So I grew up when, like, purity culture was, like, popping, right? Like, be pure, be pure, be pure, be pure.
Mm-hmm. Was it like Jonas Brothers, you mean?
Literally.
Like, with their rings. Like,
screaming it.
Yeah.
Like, the purity rings, all of it. And I didn't fully understand the boundary. Right? Because sometimes I think when you're told, no, you can't do this, it drives you to want to do it. Even psychologists have done studies in your brain. When you hear the word, don't do that, you don't hear the word don't, you just hear do that. And then you want to go do that because it's that resistance and that pull. But let me tell you, the Bible is amazing, literally. And there's a reason. There's a reason why Jesus gave us 66 books, because boundaries were never made to make you miserable. They were never made to keep you from doing things. The Bible was given to us, and there's boundaries and there's order in that to give us freedom and to protect us. Because in my past, I dated a guy for 6 years. So it's like every year for 6 years, I knew what, like, I was spending Valentine's Day with him. And then after that, it was like, I didn't know how to date. And it was like, I was kind of wrestling. I was wanting to be like in the Word, but I was still kind of in the world because I wasn't spiritually mature. And so I do have a sexual past. And for a long time that haunted me, but I'm so thankful for Romans 8:1. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we've been set free from the law of sin and death, because the Spirit gives us life. And so when I look back on how I operated in my flesh, and let me tell you, even now, like if I'm talking to someone and I haven't been in my word and I haven't been around sound counsel, the flesh in me, like I can't be alone with them, because the fleshly desires in me craves that physical attention. The fleshly desires in me want to go further. And so when you're walking in the Spirit, Tyra and I talk about this a lot, the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. And so when you're walking in the Spirit and when you're arming your mind, and when you're taking your thoughts captive, and when you know the reason why there's boundaries and why you don't need to be unequally yoked. Because when I trace back the deepest hurts from the relational wounds that I have in my past, it comes from being unequally yoked. One of us wanted to go to church and pursue Jesus, and the other one didn't. Like, it started out, yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to protect your purity. Next thing you know, we're cuddling on the couch, watching movies at midnight. Hey, why don't you just sleep over? And over time, those things were seeds that led up to sleeping together before marriage. And I'm a big believer that nothing just happens, right? Like, there are yellow flags, there are warning signs, and it's, you've got to recognize those. And when you dismiss them, and when you try to rationalize, oh, it's no big deal, we're just cuddling. Oh, it's no big deal, he just put his hand up my shirt. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. I hope as a Christian, you honor the word of God. You believe that it is infallible. It is inerrant. It is the absolute truth. There are no amendments added to the Bible. And whenever you try to add to or take away from Jesus, you're believing that Jesus is not sufficient for all of your needs. You're believing that he's insufficient. Right? And we know that God supplies all of our needs. And so I do have a sexual past, but God has redeemed me from that, and he set me free from it. And now one of my last relationships, I was dating a godly man, and there's such a difference when the words line up with the actions, because you're like, wow. But as women of God, I think we have to be careful, because just because they are a great man of God doesn't mean that they're the man that God has for you.
Right. I think a lot of Christians do that. They jump into it because they're so excited that they found this person in church and that person's on fire for God. Right. Doesn't make it the person for you. It doesn't. Yeah. If either one of you did the purity ring in high school.
True love waits.
I did.
Yes. Well, Ashley, did you?
I know that my like the prompt, like, you know, like the promise rings. Yeah, like kind of the same thing. My sister got one. I did not. But it was funny because, like, we've talked it many times before about how I don't recall ever even getting like a sex talk.
Yeah.
Apparently there was one, but obviously it wasn't, you know, it didn't like sink in. So when I got older, I had, you know, we've talked about this plenty of times. I'm a TV and movie junkie. And I think that like that really affected me, like fantasizing like your knight in shining armor and how things are going to be like, or when you watch like 90210 or all these other shows, you're just like, okay, like this is how it's supposed to go. And I can just, my mom would always say like, once you start, you can't stop. And I'm like, I don't understand what that means, but I'm like, but I got this. I was very prideful. I think like when someone says like, you know, oh, you can't handle this. I was just like, no, I got this. Like, I can handle it. And you can't handle it. Like, you can't. No. Because, like, God, you know, made these bodies for a reason.
I just want to touch base and see if you ladies can let our listeners know the importance of waiting till you're married. Even if you have that past, how you can get your, what's the word I'm looking for? Purity back. I don't know what the word would be that I'm looking for, but how you can get that back. And
oh, you like restoration?
Yeah, like restoration, because when you become born again and you truly give your life to God, and how that kind of just restarts, and you still can wait mm-hmm. for marriage. Just because you have that bad past doesn't mean that you're damaged or you don't deserve for that person and that you don't deserve to wait for marriage. Just let the listeners know how important it is and how special it is.
It's very special. It's very important. But I also want to share, you know, that God's mercy is new every morning, you know. Yeah. So I know that a lot of people, when I talk about purity and so many other things, that, is, you know, they're not living in that light, that lifestyle at that moment. And I just want you to know how I've been where you are. You know, I've been there. I'm not too good to say that. You know, I have fallen short. You know, I have many times like, hey, I'm not going to do it anymore, but I fall back in doing it, you know, so I've been there. And so I just don't want any of our listeners to feel like that they're not, you know, because they're living that life, that there's no way that they could be where we are now. And that's a lie that I believe that Satan tells us. And I want them to know that it is important to wait for marriage, and not just because of your body should be, you know, with, you know, your husband, and that's your covenant. And, you know, you hear that a lot, like, oh, spiritual ties and all those kind of things. But also, you know, given is a multiple different reasons why, you know, what the Bible says, you know, the health conscious of it all, but also understanding your body and know that it's God's temple. And mm-hmm. you definitely want to cherish that and wait to for your husband, you know? And so at that night of your wedding or whenever it is, you know, you can say, you know, I saved myself for my husband, mm-hmm. you know, and what, you know, you know, what will wash away our sins. And that's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what will make yeah. us whole again? You know, yeah. nothing but the blood of Jesus. I yeah. feel that he's speaking to me at this very second saying that.
Yeah. And that's, it's such a special feeling to be able to.
Yeah.
And just hold off, man. It is, it's a great feeling if you can do it.
It is.
If you can do it.
It's great. And I think it teaches us something too. It helps us to kind of die to our flesh more. You know, it helps us to understand that this is not our body that we are, but it's the Lord that's dwelling within us, you know. Right. And I think it's a beautiful thing is when we kind of can take away our wants and our needs and, you know, really making it about the Lord and knowing that our whole focus is about him.
Yeah.
And I think that's a definitely a mature move of the Lord there when you're able to deny your flesh.
Yeah. Absolutely. So one thing we like to do on the show is we do like to get real and down to it. I want everyone to know and understand that it's not easy. It's not. And we all go through it and we battle with it constantly. It's not just because we're followers of Christ. We just don't think about it anymore because that's not true. We all struggle. We are all human. Just let them know a little bit about that. If either one of you have anything.
I wanted Nicole to talk because I talked last time. So I like to, you know, balance it out a lot. But I can talk.
We all can talk, that's for sure. Nicole, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, so one of my relationships, I was living so far in the world and I was doing promiscuous things constantly. And when I got out of that relationship, it was hard for me. And I started doing things that were outside of the nature that God had designed for me as a woman. And I started questioning, like, why do I crave sex so much? Like, why do I want this pleasure? Why do I find so much gratification in this feeling to then do this thing and then be left empty moments after? It's like in the moment, you know, sin is fun for a season. And let me tell you, if you're living in sin right now and it's not fun, you're not doing it right. Because sin will always be fun for a season. You will always have fun. But it's going to come back and you're going to have to give an account for what you've done. And you're going to have to answer to that. And so your flesh craves touching yourself. Your flesh craves somebody else touching you. Your flesh craves hearing things from the opposite sex, or maybe even the same sex if that's what you struggle with. And it feels good because that's our flesh. And that's when that's what happens when you operate in your flesh. You're feeding the flesh. But when you starve the distractions of the world, and when you feed your spirit, and when you take on, when you just tell yourself, you know what, this is me being real. This is what I struggle with. You've got to confess it. Because a lot of times we try to keep things in our mind and we try to become isolated. God can never heal what you hide from him. And you're never going to be set free if you're sitting in the dark trying to overcome these problems all on your own. Sin is a supernatural problem that requires a supernatural power that we cannot possess on our own strength. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So for me to fight pornography, for me to fight wanting to go back to my old ways and have sex outside of marriage, for me to fight just being in relationships because I felt lonely, I really had to press in to the Spirit. I really had to have a wake-up call and say, I'm tired of this. Because I would have sex with someone that thought they loved me because I thought that was going to keep them around, but then I would never hear from them again. And I would get so mad. And I'll never forget 2 years ago in February, I said, I'm done with it. I'm over it. I had sex with my 6-year boyfriend. I had sex with my boyfriend after that. And it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Just giving myself away. And this is, you are giving yourself, you're giving something away that you cannot get back. And that's why Song of Solomon says, do not awaken love before it's time. Because when you do, you create what the world calls this emotional partnership. Right? Like you create this attachment with someone. And that is why sex is a boundary. And I got tired of having pregnancy tests. I got tired of taking Plan B. I got tired wondering if I was going to get an STD. And now 2 years of walking in purity because I serve the God of second chance. And Jesus's hands were pierced because he knew my hands would go places that they should have never been. And he took on the sins of the world. And the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. And now Jesus sees me with pure eyes, and I know that I can walk in purity. And I know that I have sisters in Christ that when I say, hey, listen, I need you to hold me accountable today because I am struggling. Hey, look, this guy is really hot and he is texting me. He is up in my DMs. I need to tread lightly here. I need to read my Bible before I respond to this. And I have got to be so emotionally vulnerable with God, confessing my sins, because 1 John 1:9 says, when you confess it, it is forgiven. But then Psalm tells us it is cast into the sea of forgetfulness and it is remembered no more. So it's not only forgiven, but it's no longer kept record of. And so we do serve the God of second chance. And we can operate in purity when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of our hearts.
Yeah.
That's so good.
You know, you brought up an interesting thing. Both of you guys did, about the spiritual connection. Have you guys heard the term soul ties before?
Yay, that's what I was looking for. I was like, what is that? Because it's not biblical. But it's
not biblical. But yeah, I heard about it a few years ago. My sister-in-law went on a YWAM trip. Have you heard of YWAM?
Yes.
Youth with a Mission. Okay, so she knew that I had struggled a whole lot with a previous relationship, and we couldn't really understand all the different things that occurred after, like why it was so difficult for me to get this person out of my head, you know, it like just some weird stuff. And she came back and she was just like, oh man, I know what it is. It's soul ties. Like you guys, you know, have, you know, connected yourself spiritually and you guys have to break that. And she's like, mm-hmm. it definitely is the answer for all of these crazy things. And I just wanted to see if you guys heard of it, if you like wholeheartedly like, yeah, this is a real deal.
Yeah. And I just said that maybe like not too long ago, but I was talking so fast, but like soul ties. Yeah. I definitely understand that. And I also wanted to kind of shine a little light on your topic, Amber, too. My pastor in the pulpit, he had, you know, the reason why I connect so well with him, because he is real. You know, when he travels out of town, he says that he was tempted to turn on porn. So you're never going to be too high up that you're not going to be tempted. And that does not necessarily mean that you're in the world, but everyone is going to get tempted. And no matter what position you're in, no matter what title you have, you know, you're going to get tempted. And it's not like what happens once you get tempted. It's like what is your response to it when it happens? Mm-hmm. And so you really have to understand why you are remaining pure and the importance of it and your relationship with God, and pray at that very moment when that feeling or that thought comes to mind. You know, and so I don't want people, because I know I get that question a lot in my DMs, or, you know, I just got baptized. So why I'm still having, you know, like baptized, when you get baptized, it's not clearing everything away. You know, yeah. You're still going to get tempted, you know, yeah. And I definitely want people to know that, you know, like even like with me yeah. sometimes at night, I have thoughts that I have to say, hey, Tyra, that's just not what God wants me to think about. That's just not, and I need to do something completely different. I need to pray, and I need to really, you know, be at the foot of Jesus at this moment, because this is just not where I need to be. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, you're going to have moments like that. And that does not mean that yeah. God doesn't love you less, or that doesn't mean that you're not connected with the Lord. You know, it's you're going to have that. If my pastor can have that and my parents can have that, you know, that's why you see a lot of adultery happens, you know, at churches, you know, really high, you know, people that are in leadership. You know, when Nicole and I are alive, the most of the things that people discuss is about infidelity in their marriages. And so the question is not about like, you know, are you going to get tempted or yes or no? It's about what do you do when that temptation arises? Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, do you believe also like, do you think that Christians get yeah. tempted more?
I think that Christians get tempted more because I feel like that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in dark places. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be wrestling, you know, with, you know, the enemy. And we're going to, you know, he's going to try to attack us, you know, and in the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, I agree with that. That's why we have to repent, you know, and pray. And that's why we have to be where we are today and have wear our armor, because we are going to get tempted. I mean, we're fighting a battle. Mm-hmm. Every day we wake up, we're fighting a battle.
That's right. And I think, too, the devil doesn't care about you when you're living in the world. He already has you. So when you're Christ's example and no longer the devil's sample, you've got a bigger target on your back. And so he's just – and he knows mm-hmm. exactly where you're weakest. For me, it's oh, this guy DM'd you. Oh, you post that bikini pic, Nicole. Why would you hide a Ferrari in the garage? You've been working hard on your body. You post that. It's thirst traps. And it's like, how many likes can I get? How successful can I get? What awards can I achieve? Who can know me? And then it's like, are you being known for the wrong things? Because as Christian followers, a Christian is one who is saved in Christ, one who suffers for Christ, and one who serves Christ. And read the book of Philippians. It's the most happiest book in the Bible. But where is Paul when he's writing it? He's in a Mamertine prison with chains around his hands and his feet. He's got a rope tied to his waist. He's in the bottom of the ground where there's a sewer. Literally, when it rained, they had to pull him up by the rope attached to his waist because the sewage line in the bottom of the prison cell would overflow and it would kill him. And he's writing the most happiest book in the Bible. So the Word of God also tells us in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you, which is common to man. But when you are tempted, you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear because the Lord will provide a way of escape. James also tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you've got to have those safeguards. I love the Billy Graham rule. When you travel as a man or as a woman, have other people with you. Don't do things alone. Have people knowing where you are in opposite sex relationships. I know at the church I used to attend, it had to be more women in the car than men. The number had to be offset because even if you know this person, the devil tempts people. The devil's greatest desire is to get a pastor to fall into sexual temptation. It's to get a pastor who's in high leadership, power, and authority, shepherding people to fall. Because what do people say? The media loves that. Blast it out. Another scandal at this church. Another pastor has fallen into infidelity. And then what do other people say? That's why I'm not going to church. That's why I don't belong to a church. And it's, we know as Christians, the church is not perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, Matthew 9 tells us the healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. And that's why I love this, because we're so real here. Like, I feel like this is family. I feel like I belong here because it's like, I can talk about what I've been through and you still see me with pure eyes. Mm-hmm. You still see me with the blood of Jesus applied to my life. You see me like Jesus sees me because you know Jesus and you love Jesus. And I pray that every woman or man watching has people in their life that see them, not for the sins that they've committed, but for the blood applied to their life and the righteousness of God that has been given to them.
Oh, that's so good. So good. I feel like something really good for all of us women should always be to have an accountability partner, someone that you can call and just be like, hey, I'm weak. That hot guy hit me up again in the DM. Like you said, what do I do? How about you respond for me? I'm done. Like, you need that in your life. Cause we are women, we tend to fall under attack a little bit more, or as far as I have seen, we fall under attack a little more. So it is hard. It's hard. And we want to fall into the world. It's easy. It's easy because anything good and worth it is not going to come easy.
Right.
So let's switch to a more light, positive note because we're finishing up here, but can you girls tell us any funny dating stories, like a scenario of something that's happened to you, something along those lines? Like, I want to hear your best, craziest, funniest dating stories.
You guys really want to hear it? I don't know if it's funny or...
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it's funny or scary, but...
I've had both, so we're good.
Yes. Well, I remember getting catfish, you know, what that means, like when people, I met this guy, he was on Facebook, you know, and he's like, hey, I wanted to see if you're free, can we go out for dinner or something? And I was like, sure, you know, I said, sure, you sound like a good guy and we got a lot of stuff in common and all that. And when we went on a date, Like, he brought his family. He brought his brother.
No.
He's just like, well, I want
to turn right around.
No. Yeah. He said, well, I want my family to meet a girl that I'm dating because they got more. They know what I'm looking for. And I was just No. It was really nice to meet them. I mean, they were very a sweet family. And I stuck around. I did stick around, guys, for dinner. I did. For dinner. And he said, so what do you think? And I said, well, it's not a match. But it was meeting your family, and I wish you well, because I will let a guy know. If it's in my heart, I will let him know at that time it's not a match.
Oh my gosh, girl! The whole family.
And
was it at like a restaurant?
Yeah, we were at like Olive Garden. Union. I love Olive Garden, and so we whole family.
I'll have my son send you some breadsticks.
Yes, like his mom and dad was there, but they were like so happy to be out and to, you know, I think he's just been single for a very long time. He was just so happy.
Oh no, you know? It's like that New Girl episode. Do you guys watch New Girl? The one where the she likes his parents more and he like is into the model trains.
Oh yes.
It's like, I'd rather date your parents.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that episode.
They're like, please take them.
I remember that episode.
Skip and Nancy are their names.
Yes.
We love New Girl here.
So bad. That's my weakness.
That's funny. Yeah. What about you, Nicole?
Yes. So I met this guy at a festival. And his friends were like egging him on to take me on a date. So like we exchanged numbers or whatever. And I didn't like think too much of it. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. You know, we built a little bit of rapport. And he asked me to go to brunch. And I was like, well, I go to church on Sundays. So it would have to be after. So he was like, okay, no worries. So he like picks out this brunch spot. And I go there and I meet him and there's like a 30-minute wait. So we're like sitting on this beautiful ledge outside. There's like this little waterfall. We're just getting to know each other. And I'm kind of like sitting like towards the side and he's like, we're like kind of angled to each up toward each other. And I'm telling him about some story in my life. And he puts his hand on my leg and he says, hey, Nicole, I'm not feeling very well. And 2 seconds later, he passed out and fell over. I know, it was horrific. He passed out, fell over, hit his head, and I was a CNA in college. And
my goodness.
You call 911. I was like, literally, like, we're standing, like, sitting on this ledge, and I'm like, you call 911, and I, like, jerk him up. And I'm like holding his head, like to get like the oxygen, like back and flowing. And like, I'm walking him inside and he's like, kind of like incoherent. He doesn't really know what's going on. And he kind of like comes to, and then he passes out again while I was walking. And so I was like, get water now. And we get water. We sit him down. We put like a cool rag over his head and the ambulance shows up. And they're kind of like checking him out and whatever. And he was like, I'm not going to the hospital. And I was like, you just passed out 2 times. I was like, something was wrong. I was like, you need to get this checked out. And I was like, I'll follow you. You go in the ambulance. I'll come with you. Like, I want to make sure you're okay. So he goes in the ambulance and I'm starving. Mind you, like, I didn't really eat anything before. And like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop at like this little char grill place on the way and get like a grilled chicken. I'm like shoving the sandwich down my throat, not even knowing like what to make sense of what just happened. I show up to the hospital and they've taken him back. And just so happens, his mom works at the hospital. And his mom is like, literally, like, I'm going and I'm like, where is so-and-so? Like, I'm here, you know, to make sure he's okay. And it's literally his mom right beside me. And she was like, oh, that's my son. And I was like, oh, well, hi, I'm Nicole.
We're all mean families, huh?
And so we're like chilling in the waiting room for like like 25 minutes. And I'm like, I'm just building rapport with his mom. Like, we're talking about like our favorite nutrition meals and how she runs marathons. And I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? But yeah, it turns out he was fine. He was okay. I left. He was embarrassed. And yeah.
End of story. You have to share that at Bible study. I'm going to remind you.
How long ago was this? And where did he just disappear to?
So this was like in 2017 or 18. And we talked a little bit after that and like actually went like on an official date.
Right.
And I just think like it was hard for him to get over like how exposed he was like in that moment. Because like that's a lot. Especially men. Yeah. You guys know like men are really like
men cold.
And their emotions on the line. Like, and I'm like, you're going to the hospital. I was like, I don't care. And we're still friends to this day. Like we're friends on Instagram. I mean, like, if he needed something, like I would help him. He went off to get married and he has a little kid now and she's so cute. And so I'm happy for him. And it's just like, it didn't work out with us because it wasn't supposed to, right? Like,
right.
One time I shared this story on my Instagram and commented on
it. Just my first thought would have been like, this is the perfect before you get married story, like how'd you meet?
Yeah.
He's like, I think so passed away, right? Like he literally passed out.
Yeah.
Twice.
I never had a guy that passed out for me. That's pretty impressive. He didn't pass out once, but twice.
I thought, like, I thought maybe he was like, it was like some kind of thing to like, you know, like get out of a date or... Or, like, to just get you to be like, oh, let me take care of you.
Right? Like, how nurturing is this girl?
Let's test. Yeah, like, his buddies are like, yeah, dude, just pass out. Just pass out. See what happens.
Well, that's an expensive date. That hospital bill is going
to
be expensive.
Well, that's what I thought. Like, oh, he didn't want to go to the hospital. I'm like, well, that's probably because he's faking. Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm about to go.
Hey, better him than you, though. Man. All right, ladies. Well, did you want to say something, Ash? Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, because while you guys were talking, you know, I have a 13-year-old daughter. And, you know, obviously we had the purity rings and, you know, all that, you know, as we got older and, you know, had more life experience and whatnot. Do you guys have, now that since you're on social media and it's more of a younger crowd, what advice do you have, you know, for the younger girls? Because, you know, like it's kind of like what you said, like, don't do it, but they're not going to hear us. So trying to like cut through all that tape to reach them, how would you approach, you know, middle school, high school? Because, you know, probably kids are still having sex in middle school.
Right.
I'm not going to think about that. but yeah, how would you try to reach them on this topic?
That's a really great question. I lead a lot of, you know, groups with high schoolers and middle schoolers. I even started Let Tyra Mentor You for my company. Because all of my nieces, they look up to me in such an amazing way. So they're so happy to remain pure to marriage. And it's not because it's been forced upon them. It's because of they see my walk. And I feel like you are the best example. Instead of talking it or showcasing it, I think you yourself being an example, it's the most important thing. And that's what my nieces tell me. And they're in ninth grade, eighth grade. And they're like, Auntie Tyra is just like, I love, you know, and also I let them understand, like, why is it important? And understanding, like, what's out there, you know, because my parents were the family that never had that talk with me. You know, they were like, kind of like, I don't want to talk about that. It's like a little awkward, but yeah. And so, I never had that growing up. I never had my mom, my dad sitting down, letting me know like why sex is bad. But thankfully, you know, I was able to wait, you know, for a very long time, even in my upper 20s before I even lost it. And, but, you know, I waited for a very long time. But I think it's just because I was more scared than I was for biblical reasons. And now I can say it's because of the Lord and walking, you know, for him and his purpose. But I think that the first thing you can do is actually just be the example you're talking about. And also, you know, spend time with them, you know, and get to know them and encourage them and have outings, you know. We're just never too busy to encourage and impact any, you know, a child.
What about you, Nicole?
I would say that our deepest desire as women is to be fully known and fully loved. And a lot of times when we're young and we find love or we find that someone has taken an interest in us, we have a tendency to do whatever they want to do without having boundaries for ourselves. And when you are intentional about the boundaries you're setting and when you know why there's boundaries to be put in place, like if you were babysitting a three-year-old child and they wanted to run around with scissors, you would take the scissors out of the child's hand. And the child would cry and scream and get mad, but you knew something that they didn't know, right? And if you told someone at, you know, 17 years old, you can have all of this now, but later you can't have it back, right? Or you, as a kid, you can have all of this candy. Like, would you rather have a bunch of candy right now or a car? When you're older, they're going to do what they want now, but what you do now is always going to show up later. And so God gave us boundaries in the beginning to protect us. And you don't want to live with the regret of having all of these insecurities inside of your heart as you get older, because you gave yourself away to this person because you thought that sex was going to keep that man in your life. Or you did this thing because this man or woman told you that they loved you, but then they left you. So if you're going to sex to try to fill those deepest desires in your heart and you're still having sex continually, then obviously what you're going to is not being able to fill you. So in order to know who you are, you've got to know who Jesus Christ is. And in order to be fully known and fully loved, you've got to meet the one who knows you deeply and fully and will never turn an ear to what you have to say because he's never going to leave you or forsake you. And one who will love you before you even said, I love you back, or before you even said, I'm sorry. So every decision that you make in life has a price to pay. And what you say no to, you say yes to something else. So I would just challenge you to be intentional, and it's going to be hard. And if you have done things that you're not proud of, God can redeem you and forgive you. But you don't need to go make a mess of your life, and you don't need to go get knee deep in sin to receive the grace of God. It's already given to you freely. And what a testimony to honor the Lord and have the favor of God upon your life, because God is our security. That's what Proverbs 3 tells us. And so you can be wise about who you date and what you do. And you don't have to worry about getting pregnant and trying to raise a child while you're still a child. You don't have to worry about having a baby prematurely. You don't have to worry about getting an STD when you're walking and operating in purity. And you're going to have your peace. And your peace and your purity in the Lord, it goes with the pictures that you post. It goes with what you watch on the computer screen. It goes with where you let someone put their hands on your body. And you were not created to be abandoned and abused. God created you to walk in fullness and newness in life. And that's who you are in Christ when you become a new creature.
Yeah, I love that. It's just, to me, it's like remembering that Jesus should be our first love.
Yeah.
Should be our first love and our biggest love. And I think once you have that and you can kind of look towards that, you're not going to look elsewhere.
And I really think that we do need a lot of volunteers, because when I used to volunteer for, you know, human trafficking and rescuing children, and we are always short on volunteers. We're always short on people to help pray for us. So I really do think that, you know, we can speak the message, but being a community to try to make a difference is very important.
Yeah, it really, really is. Well, I am so blessed. I know we both are honored to have you ladies on our show today. Always a good time. Always keep us smiling, and we appreciate that. And let our listeners know where they can find you.
Tyra, go ahead. Go first.
Oh, okay. Great. I don't mind. It's all about me.
Because like, I always. Tyra, Nicole. So it's like,
you can find me. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok. I am the founder and the CEO of Let Tyra Mentor You, Let Tyra Brand You. And we just launched a new concierge service. Also, you can find me on my personal Instagram, Tyra_W87, on all of my other social media platforms. But like, I want everyone to like reach out and, you know, and share like how I can pray for you or anything like that. I mean, I will love to do it. I feel like it's not really about me, but it's me working in the Lord, and whatever I can do to help you grow closer, I will love to do that.
So good. And Nicole, where can they find you?
Yes. Thank you so much for having us on. I honor you and respect you for what you're doing for advancing the kingdom. Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies. And if you're not following Uncommon Faith Podcast, you should definitely do that and follow their Instagram as well. My Instagram is Nicole, NICHOLE. It's Nicole, I guess you could call it, _ Thank. You can find me on Instagram. I post books of the Bible to read every month. It's my mission just to get people to read the Bible. The Bible is a precious jewel, and it shouldn't be collecting dust on a shelf. You can also follow me on TikTok as well, where I just give daily encouragement videos to pump up your day and to keep your focus in Christ. Same username, Nicole_Fink. And then on YouTube, it's just Nicole Fink.
Nicole. Right.
Nicole.
Nicole. Got it. Ladies, thank you again so much for joining us. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. I'm Amber.
Where can we find you? Amber, where can we find you?
you can find me at Adonia, ADONIA, by Amber on Instagram. And where can they find you, Ash?
They can find me at ashley.reed or Ashley Reed Music. And also follow us at Uncommon Faith Podcast. And then you can email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. So thank you guys.
And
so
Ashley,
much.
Are you a musician?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Are you a singer?
Yeah, singer-songwriter.
Oh, that is awesome. I'm so glad to know that.
Yeah. I'll send you where you can. Well, I mean,
please. I would love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate chatting with you. I mean, we could probably chat all night if we,
I know.
Yeah, it would be like a couple of episodes.
So.
You did
thank
it.
You so much right. for having
thank
us.
You. Bye, awesome. Ladies.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye guys. Till next time.
Bye.